dedicated to preaching and teaching the whole counsel of God from all of God's inerrant word, this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Tells us that we are saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This was the great truth that was recovered out of the Protestant Reformation, that we are saved by grace through faith. But what is faith? We're going to look at that today on Abounding Grace, that we might have a good understanding of this chosen avenue, this vehicle, this means by which Jesus Christ and his glorious gospel and his righteousness is brought to us through the means of faith. The scriptures teach everywhere about the importance of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Mark chapter 5, we have a beautiful exposition and display of saving faith. We're going to look at this today on Abounding Grace Radio from Mark chapter 5. We do invite you to visit us at agradio.org, agradio.org. The number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. We are so thankful, dear listener, that you take time out of your day to tune into this program. We work hard to make this program a blessing to you, that it would aid you, if you're a Christian, to grow in your Christian faith, to understand what you believe and why you believe it so important. And if you're a non-believer or somebody who has embraced somebody in something else other than the Lord Jesus Christ, to convict you, to turn to him as the Lord of your life, to enjoy in him the peace of forgiveness and grace so that you can be reconciled to God with no more enmity, no more hostility, and know what it is to live in the joy of this comfort. Thanks for tuning in today to the program. Here is now our program from Mark chapter 5, Mark chapter 5, which I have titled, Reach Out Your Hand. And Mark is after one thing that we see Jesus really pressing now with. Mark is after one great purpose here of Jesus in this narrative that's in front of us. It is that the followers of Jesus would believe. It begins here in verse 21 with a man named Jairus who had a daughter who is dying. It's a challenging narrative, I found, because it doesn't seem to make sense initially as to exactly what's going on here. Jesus has this man come to him who begs him to come and heal his daughter. Jesus says, I will go. They begin to go, and the whole thing is suddenly interrupted by a woman with a flow of blood. He heals her. But during that time, Jairus' daughter dies. And then he goes and he raises her up. I've often asked, in every single gospel, this particular one over the years has been somewhat perplexing to me. The Holy Spirit has weaved these two events together in every gospel, which means this is very important to see their link, and he's telling us something very important about identifying these two events together. These events are weaved together for a purpose. In fact, so that you understand the intention this morning, and you can say, okay, I see exactly where this is going, I want everyone to look at verse 36, where Jesus says to Jairus, and this should be a bell ringing when you hear this, Jairus, don't be afraid, only believe. Now, that's exactly what Jesus confronted the disciples with in the boat, isn't it? They're in the boat, the storm comes, they're absolutely panicked, and they fall apart. And remember what Jesus said, why are you fearing? Do you still have no faith? And the same thing now is said to Jairus. Stop fearing, only believe. And the disciples are standing there, and I'm wondering if they're thinking, well, this all sounds very familiar. Well, this is exactly what Jesus is doing. And here on the other side, it seems that the multitudes and the crowds are waiting for him. So there's a great reception for Jesus on the Galilean side of the lake, contra what had just happened on the other side of the lake. On the Gentile side, they begged him to leave. Here he comes back, and we read they're thronging him. But this is an important point. Why such popularity on the Galilean side of the lake? It's clear that all these multitudes had followed him, and I'm quoting directly now from Mark chapter 3, from Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and beyond the Jordan. Why? Because, now listen to this, and I think it will help for this morning. They heard many things he was doing, for he healed so many that as many as had afflictions pressed about him to touch him. They all said, we want to touch him. So everyone's bumping up to Jesus. Everyone's crowding him. Everyone's thronging him. That's the word Mark uses. Why is that? Why such popularity? Not so hard. Jesus is a Hollywood-like figure in Galilee. You know how we treat Hollywood figures, right? We put posters up in our rooms. You shouldn't, but we want autographs. I mean, we seriously want to run around touching them. If I just get to shake the hand of some movie star, it's going to rub off, I guess. We want to handle them. They're like little gods with their little paparazzis all over the place, aren't they? This is the kind of popularity Jesus had in the region. Jesus knew much of it was for the show. John had told us that from John chapter 1, that when they saw the signs that he did, remember, many of them followed him. Many of them followed because they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus wasn't after that. Jesus was not interested in that. He was not interested in being the showman for the people. He didn't want them to just be amazed with him. He didn't want people thinking that he had come to give them their best life now. And now two events happen that make a strong divide between those who have faith and those who have no faith. It's a big moment. In other words, he is forcing people off the fence with regard to him. So he has reached the other side, and we read that a ruler of the synagogue, a man named Jairus, ran up and fell down at his feet. Now, in contrast to the last scene, when he got off the boat, the demon had come running and bowed down at his feet and worshiped. He gets off the boat on the other end of the lake. Here are the multitudes. This man comes running, and he falls at his feet. A prominent figure, a ruler of the synagogue, Mark says he was, which means he was an elder-like figure in the synagogue. We read that he begged Jesus earnestly, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. It was a panicked plea. My daughter's sick. My little daughter. We're told with some detail here that she was 12 years old, and Mark chooses the word that Jairus used, which means at the very brink of death. She's at the very point of death. The word is powerful. Jesus, we're at the end. You got to come now. Come now. It's intense. You got to get there now to lay your hands on my little daughter. If you do that, she'll be healed. If you put your, and notice the emphasis here, you put your hand on her, she'll live. You don't read Jesus saying anything. Nothing. All you read is a little phrase. And he went. As I was reflecting on this week, I thought to myself, is that faith? Is that faith? I mean, at least with the centurion. Remember the story of the centurion when he had come to Jesus and said, "Come, heal my servant." Jesus said, "I will come." And he said, "But you don't need to. I'm a man in authority. If you just command a word, it'll happen. Just say it, it'll happen." And Jesus said, "Whoa, I have not found such great faith all in Israel." That was a remarkable moment. But this man, totally distraught over his daughter. I've witnessed a lot of suffering in the ministry. You know, in the midst of suffering, when it comes on quickly, maybe, when you're panicked, you can't really focus on anything else, can you? Your sole purpose is now to find a solution to your problem. You're going to find a solution to your problem. Your life is now driven by that. Your life is going to be driven. It's going to all be formed and framed now to find a solution to your problem. And of course, if the situation grows worse, and if the situation continues to grow worse, you panic. You panic. This is Jairus. She is, and he uses the word for eschatology here, she is at the end. When the disciples had come to this point, what was their question? Well, they're in the boat. They're absolutely panicked, full of fear. Jairus is full of fear. Jesus brings that out in both scenarios. They're full of fear. And when the disciples came to this point, remember, don't you care? Don't you care that we're perishing? You see people hurting. You see people suffering. You see people wasting away. And I've had that feeling. I've had that for God's people when I've seen it, and I've seen them wasting away in the bed, dying. Why? Why let them go through that? Don't you care? It's that same question that could be asked here. Did Jesus care that this little man's daughter was dying? And the answer is, of course he did. He went right away, didn't he? It's really an answer. Of course he cared. Of course he cared. Just put your hand on her, Jesus, she'll be made well. Is it faith? In the next sentence we read, so Jesus went. I don't know how many of you have come to these moments of this like panic, of panic, but at some point you will. And you will do just as all we do. You'll beg the Lord to take it away. You'll want pastor to pray that it gets taken away. What happens when it doesn't? What happens? You'll begin to question. You begin to question his love for you. This is where we are. This is the text. Heal my daughter. Put your hand on her, and she'll be made well. Come now, do it. She's at the end. You're all going to be here somewhere. Text emphasizes this was a big moment for the multitudes. They get to see the show now, don't they? They get to ride this on the coattails of this and see this great performer perform something they have not quite seen yet. A 12-year-old? For they all went, it says, and pushed on him as they went. They are touching and pushing on him. So you can imagine this throng of people. Jesus is in the center and they're moving towards Jairus' daughter as fast as they can go. So here they all go. All of a sudden the text stops. It's abruptly interrupted. And this woman who has had, we read, a flow of blood for 12 years is in the middle of the crowd. This woman, what she does seems to completely distract Jesus so as to force him to stop going to Jairus' daughter. So then we have presented to us in the middle of this scene of Jesus now helping this woman, so that the sense being that Jesus, by stopping and addressing this and dealing with her, he has now lost the opportunity. It's escaped him to help Jairus' daughter, because by the time this is done, by the time he's done helping this woman, a report comes back, Jairus, your daughter's dead. Leave him alone. You can't do anything now. Why the interruption? Was this just a bad moment of distraction? And that's where I stop and say this was a moment for everyone to stop the rush of life, to stop the come now, get it done now, and be confronted with the heart of what Jesus is after. What do I mean? You say, how are these connected? Did you notice something? Jairus' daughter was 12 years old. And this woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. Do you think that's coincidental? Mark wants you to link the stories together. Mark wants you to put the stories together, telling you that the interruption of what seemed to be something that had wrecked the opportunity for Jesus to save Jairus' daughter was in fact the opportunity to teach Jairus and the multitudes what concerned him the most about, ready, stay with me, his daughter. Whose daughter? Sometimes we're in such a rush. Sometimes our following Jesus is so circumstantial. Often our connections with Jesus are merely at a distance. I've pressed you on this the last few weeks that you can follow Jesus at a distance and that really you're just here to ride for the show. You're just here because in some way you know you should be. And we here in front of us in the midst of this is a scene, one of these great moments of panic and moments where now this person needs something from Jesus. Who else can he go to? The very disruptions and the very frustrations of life, do you ever think are meant to stop you? That you should listen to him on his terms? You want to overcome it so quickly, you want to get it done so quickly, but do you stop and listen to him? Some of you are running so fast right now, it's hard to stop and listen today. Her situation was really bad too. She too was dying. She had this flow of blood, we read. We're really not told what it was, but for years, she had suffered many things from many doctors. She had spent every dime that she had trying to get well, and the thing only kept growing worse. In fact, every single ceremonial law was broken here that forbade her even from being in the public and around the public. She was an unclean outcast. A nobody, somebody considered ceremonially unclean and somebody who should greatly be quarantined from society in their rules and regulations. Mark gives us her story. She hears about Jesus, and Mark is recounting the story, hearing it from her mouth. But he initially begins to get there. She hears about Jesus and thinks, if I just touch his clothes, I will be made well. So secretly, she walks up behind him, and as he's walking, she reaches out her hand, and she touches the edge of his garment. And verse 29 is absolutely powerful. Verse 29 is wonderful. Immediately, the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. To which I pause, and am reminded of Martin Luther describing the act of God justifying a sinner as the great exchange. I know of no better place to really capture the picture, do you? She is absolutely unclean, she's sick, she's dying, the whole thing representing the awful problem of what sin has caused. If I just touch him, I'll be made whole. And Jesus openly says, power left me. And you see the imagery here as there was the exchange being that as she reached out and embraced him, he took on her uncleanness and his power healed her. And you think of Paul saying, he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I raise that to say this is the moment that Jesus wants you to see. He wanted them all to see. In other words, he doesn't want what just happened to be concealed. Why? So he stops. Greatest interruption ever to what he needed to do, right? from our perspective. He stops. And he turns around and he says, "Who touched me? Who touched my clothes?" This was probably the most frustrating moment for the disciples ever in the ministry of Jesus. It says everyone was touching him. Everyone's touching him. They've been wanting to. Everyone's been touching. This has been the problem. Everyone's been touching him. He had to get in a boat to preach because everyone was thronging him and pushing him. It even says pushing him. Are you kidding? You see everyone's hands on you and you stop right now and say, "Who's touching me?" They're in a sprint to heal Jairus' daughter who's at the end, the eschatos of death. He's at the end. Are you serious? You see the multitudes pushing on you and you want to know who touched you? Jesus ignores it. Completely ignores it. And everyone at this point begins to try to talk about the humanity and the divinity of Jesus and how this all works, of him not knowing. That's not the point. That is not the point. What he's doing here is making a moment of this. He's making a big moment of this. So he begins to survey. Who touched me? Who did it? And you stop and you say, well, if everyone's touching him, Jesus just said, only one really touched me. Only one has really embraced me. The imagery is so beautiful. She, being overwhelmed with guilt, comes forward, deadly afraid. You read that Mark says she told him everything, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And as she's sitting there telling, you can see Jairus and you can see the disciples. Oh, come on. Come on. It's taking forever. Jesus has purposely halted the multitude. Can you hear her story that day? Can you hear it? In front of everyone standing there, this is what you begin to hear. Jesus, forgive me for touching you, for distracting you. I've been sick for 12 years. Jairus is standing right here. I've been sick for 12 years. I've lost all my health. I've lost all my wealth. I don't have anything left. I'm so sorry. I know I'm unclean. I know I shouldn't be here. I know I shouldn't even be in the community. Nor should I have touched you. I know this makes you unclean. I've heard about you. I've been listening to what everyone's saying about your teachings and your word. And I said to myself, all I would need to do then, if it's true about him, and what everyone is saying and what he's been speaking, if that's true, all I would need to do is reach out and touch him. And I'll be made whole. Many have criticized this woman for a sort of magical faith. I agree that it's little faith. She didn't know much. But it was Jesus who said faith is of a mustard seed moves mountains. She had obviously been listening to him or heard the reports about his teachings and his power. In fact, maybe she was one of those who came back after the parable of the sower who he didn't identify and came to listen to what it meant. Whatever the case, with what little she had, she believed. With what little she had, how much do you have? And didn't Jesus say, to him who has, more will be given? And after her confession, she tells the whole truth. Her expression of belief, what does Jesus say? Are you ready for it? It's the only time he ever said it. She's been sick 12 years. She comes believing. She comes confessing. And what does Jesus say? Daughter, your faith has made you well. Daughter? Go in peace, be healed of your affliction. No other place do I find Jesus saying daughter. Why is Jesus saying daughter? What did Jairus come running to Jesus saying? My daughter is sick. She's on the brink of death. Jairus has been standing there, anxious, panicked, and this major distraction to his little daughter being saved. And I thought to myself, well, what did he just hear then? When she hears and recounts her whole story, and then Jesus speaks as a father does to a daughter in the next scene, and what does he say? Daughter, your faith has made you well. What had she done? She had put out her hand and embraced him. Jairus comes. Stretch out your hand and touch my daughter and she'll be well. Come now. Here's the moment I believe was captured for Jairus. And the disciples for sure, and the multitudes. You guys are crying out in fear. And you want my hand to be placed everywhere. You want physical deliverance from everything. But your daughter's need is much greater. Your daughter's need is much greater. Did you see how my daughter just came to me? You must first come and put out your hand like my daughter. Do you understand that? You are panicked, asking for your hand on my daughter. You want me to stretch out my hand. I'm more than willing to do that. I am more than willing to do that. But let me introduce you to my daughter. See what she did? Did you hear her? Did you listen to her? She said, if I just touch him, I will be healed. I want that from you, Jairus. I want that from you, my disciples. I want that from you today. This is where I come back to the boat scene when Jesus said to the disciples, why are you fearing? Do you still have no faith?
You've been listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.